I wanted to preface what I share with you tonight by just telling those of you that aren't parents and maybe sitting there wondering, why am I here? What am I doing tonight hearing this? I'm only 18 years old. Well, you need it. Just let me tell you that. You're still a kid to me. No, I'm teasing. What I want to share with you is this. I would have been so much better off if I had known what I know now before I'd gotten married. And I know you're all interested in that. So that you don't have to have some of the things happen to you that you saw on the stage tonight, I just want to encourage you to take notes now during this whole series. I hope you'll stick with us because I think that you'll learn an awful lot about what it takes to parent. And I think it will give you confidence for the future if you know what to do right instead of wondering what is right or what is wrong. We had a sort of a humorous look tonight, almost a married with children sort of a look. The sad part about it, though, is that that's the reality for most people. The parenting experience that most people have is in some way represented by what you saw in the drama tonight. Chaos. One word I could think of the American family today. Chaos. It's disorganized. It's chaotic. It gets a little crazy. And quite honestly, mothers think that kind of stuff all the time. Much of the time. Many times. In their secret heart, they think, I can't deal with this anymore. This is a loony bin. I got a bunch of animals for kids. And of course, if you watch much television today, you realize that fathers aren't represented too well these days. Of course, a lot of them don't hang around, so I don't blame the television industry, but they don't help it any by the Al Bundys of the world. We're not all like Al Bundy, just want you to know that. And we're not all like his wife either. But I want to share with you tonight, I entitled this message, Parenting, A Battle We Cannot Afford to Lose, because it is a battle. What's going on today in the family with kids is a war. And we're losing that war. And I'm going to speak very frankly to you about that. We are losing the battle for our children, and they're worth fighting for. Now, I come to you tonight as a concerned individual, as an individual who cares about you and your family. I don't come to you as the God Almighty expert that's ever lived on perfect parenting. And I don't want anyone to have any illusions about that. I have 4 children. And I'm learning. I have 2 in junior high. I have 1 in 3rd grade and 1 3.5. So I have the full range of children. We'll get into the high school years here soon. And actually, I'm looking forward to that. But I'll save that stuff for later. I'm excited about it. But I want to share this with you. I had the good fortune, you might say, the blessing of being 18, 19, 20 years old before I was married, being exposed to 2 individuals who profoundly influenced my life. They were 2 men and their wives. They were my pastors as a very young person in my Christian life. And to this day, I reflect on their parenting. I reflect on what they taught me. And now, 13 years into parenting, I can say they were right. The Bible worked. And I can look at their life as their kids are now almost 19 and 20. And they have 8 of them. One of them has 8. One has 9. Another has 7 with another one on the way. And I can tell you this. What they taught me, what they shared with me from the Word of God, really worked. And it's really working today in our lives to the degree we apply it. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you during this series. Principles from the Word of God that are timeless, that will work as we apply them. But I just want to share with you this evening a little bit about what's at stake. I was coming tonight, a friend of mine picks me up to come to the services. My wife, the kids have karate on Friday nights, and so I get picked up for the service. I got my own ninja death squad, so I'm training them. So if anyone messes with me, just beware, okay? I got three ninjas at home and one who can't wait to start, okay? And he'll be the best of the lot. So just be careful, all right? So she was just sharing with me a conversation she had today with a workmate. This individual was telling them of their son, who's 19 years old, who's good friends and knew the two young ladies who died in the cave in St. Paul just a week ago or a few days ago, suffocated. They built a fire. It was the party hangout. Everyone went there and partied. They died. And one of the gals who died was also the friend of a young man in St. Paul who just a few months ago, killed himself. Wrote her a letter about a week before he did. Told her he was going to do it. Told her, my life isn't worth living. Life is so awful. My life's just been one bad trip and I'm going to end it. And killed himself. And our newspapers today, if you haven't been reading them, if you haven't been keeping up, are very shocking at what's going on today with our kids. I was talking with a teacher the other day who got a call, this was just last night actually, or two nights ago, and this person called me on the phone and said, I got a call from a parent who said, I just wanted you to know, now this child's 6 years old. I got a call from the parent who said, I just want you to know you're going to be getting some police reports. This student appears to be a model student. And the woman said, are we talking about so-and-so? Yes, we're talking about so-and-so. Well, he has a record for arson and for robbery. And so you're going to be getting a police report from them. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Someone once handed me a research little survey that showed that in 1940, the number one penalty in school was chewing gum in the classroom and running down the hall. This was done a few years ago. I think it was in the late 80s. It showed the number one crime is rape, murder, burglary, possession of drugs, selling drugs. Something's changed in our world, if you haven't noticed. Something's changed. The little music we played tonight was a little bit, didn't quite fit, did it? That's Leave It to Beaver music. That's Ozzie and Harriet music. That isn't Al Bundy music. Something's changed. Two of the institutions that we have probably put the most trust in, although most of us don't realize it, I'll explain to you how a little later on, have ended up, without knowing it, many of us don't realize it, they've ended up betraying an entire generation. And that's the school system and the television. The average child today in America watches 6.5 hours of television. Now, you know, if you got cable, you got Nickelodeon, you've got MTV, you've got STV, you got blah, 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 you got blah, 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 you got sports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I hope you don't wonder at all how a child could very easily watch 6.5 hours a day of television. Have you ever watched an hour yourself? How long does an hour seem to be when you're bored? Seems to be forever, doesn't it? Have you ever sat down in front of the television and found out how fast an hour went by? The next thing you know, the movie's over. You're going, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock. That's how it happens. We've got a generation of kids today whose primary influence in their life has been television. Has been television. Now, you have to face that. We have to face that reality and understand how we're going to deal with it if we're going to make progress. Second thing that's happened to us is that we've taken values and morality education out of our curriculum. And we have replaced it not with neutrality, but with just the opposite. We have replaced it with educating our 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds on how to do it. And how to do it so you don't get a rare disease. Now let me just share this with you tonight. In little, we'll call this AIDS Education 101. Alright? I don't think we have any drug users here tonight. But if we do, That's one way you can get it. The second way you can get it is sleeping around. Guess what? If you don't do either one of those, your odds are about 1 in 1 billion that you're going to get AIDS. Unless some rare situation happens and you rush to the hospital and you get AIDS-tainted blood. Today, 95% of all AIDS cases are sexually related. And yet, parents are being betrayed. We're telling our children, well, just do it safe. Like tell them, here's a heroin needle. Just be safe, son. Okay? Just be safe, okay? I mean, you're going to do it. Just be safe. Well, we do that with drinking and driving, right? Let's do that with alcohol. Listen, son, I know you're 16. You're probably going to go to these parties and get plastered. So, here's my number. Please don't feel afraid to call me. At any time, I'll come and get you. Moms and dads, we have accepted this. We have accepted this type of scenario with our kids. Passively. Passively. Now, what I want you to understand is something very interesting. I just had lunch the other day with two psychologists. One has a doctorate, one has their master's. They have a clinic, and they do lots of family counseling and counseling with troubled children and troubled adults and et cetera, et cetera. You know what's very interesting about counseling, and I've done a lot of it myself, is no one ever comes to me and says, oh, Mark, I'm telling you, the public school system ruined my life. It was television. I had a terrible television for a parent, and it was awful. Very interesting, isn't it? Guess who still has the number one influence on their kids? Mom and dad. You are still the number one influence in your child's life. And they really believe that. Just that we don't believe that. We don't believe that. We are the biggest influence on our children. We're not powerless. There are things that we can do to bring up positive, healthy, dynamic, wonderful children. Children that obey. Children that respect you, that don't turn and look you in the eye and say, I hate your guts, you blankety blank piece of blank. And I know I've had parents call me on the phone, mothers in tears who said, this is what my child just said to me. I've had parents call me on the phone who are afraid of their 15-year-old. They're afraid of them. You and I have got to understand what we're dealing with today, okay? What scenario we're dealing with. We have to understand that we don't have a lot of allies out there. We've got to start supporting each other, and we've got to take back our families and start standing up like men and women and do something about our families. Now, I want to share something with you very interesting, and I mean this. TV doesn't worry me at all. Neither does the public school system. Doesn't worry me. Society doesn't scare me. It is not what society is doing to our children, but it is what we allow society to do to our kids. I was visiting with some parents not too long ago. They both work 10-hour days. They have smaller children. Now we'll talk about smaller children. The children have to go to bed at 8 o'clock, 8 to 8:30 to be up the next day to go to school. That means mom and dad get home about 6 o'clock, 6:30. You're rushing around, get dinner. Do you know how long that gives you with your kids? Guess what? Guess who's having more influence with your kids, by and large, than you and I? TV. I mean, how many of you parents see your kids 6.5 hours a day? Well, how am I supposed to do that, Mark? Well, you're not. You can't. You've got to work. We have to make a living to support our children, to take care of them. But that doesn't mean the TV has to be left on now, does it? Oh, Mark, you just don't understand. I mean, there'd be a coup in my family if I tried to get rid of the TV. Well, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks to come. You'll have to come back for that, but there are things you can do about that. A hammer works pretty good. Hammer's real effective. Plain old-fashioned rules are effective. If mom and dad understand what our role in parenting is. But I want to share with you a verse from the Bible, from Psalms chapter 112, that gives me tremendous confidence and encouragement and a challenge as a father. It says this, "Oh, the bliss." Bliss means wonderful happiness, ecstasy, okay? "Oh, the bliss of the man who greatly respects God, who finds great delight in obeying what God says. His children will be the mighty in the land." About 13 years ago, almost 13 years ago, my wife and I were cooking in a sorority. That's what we did for a job. We lived in the sorority with 50 women, about 18 or 19 years old. We lived down in the basement. Okay, that was quite an experience, let me tell you. Quite an experience. I was newly married and tried to please 50 different girls being the cooks. Well, moms, thank God you don't have 50 kids. Okay? There'd be this sign that was hung out. It wasn't our idea, it was their idea, for advice or whatever. "Love those peas, love those peas. Yuck! Hate those peas. Don't ever have peas again. Love the chicken. Excellent chicken. That chicken stunk. That was the worst chicken I ever saw." I just told my wife, "Listen, we're just going to do what we want within the budget. Don't listen to this criticism." There's a parenting lesson in here, by the way, and I'll get to that in the next few weeks too. Just do what we know is right to do. And at the end of the year, we were the only cooks who ever stayed on budget, and they wanted us back again. They used to invite us to all their parties. We just went out and I just looked at the sheet and tore it off the wall so there was a clean one for them to write on. Made them feel better. I never read it. I'm going to read it. You cannot effectively lead by listening to 55,000 voices. Well, we'll get to that too, moms and dads. Okay. Now then. All right? Now. Now. Okay. Getting back to the family. All right? We lived in this sorority, and my wife was expecting while we were in the sorority. We actually had our daughter. She's an honorary Alpha Chi Omega. If any of you hear Alpha Chi's, yes, Alpha Chi. Okay. All right? I have to say, I really do have to say, in all honesty to you, fraternity and sorority, bros and sisses. Okay? Living in one really changed my impression of them. It really did. I used to think, like everyone else thinks about them, it was a wonderful experience. And I'd do it again for a little more money than I made last time. Okay? But it was really a wonderful experience. One of the girls was majoring in child development. She came down, knocked on our door one day, said, "Mark, can I interview you and your wife? You know, I'm doing a project and my professor, I got to interview a potential family." And I said, "Sure, come on in." So she came out into our little basement apartment while the cockroaches came. Whenever they'd spray for cockroaches in the kitchen, they'd come down to our apartment below. And then my wife, you know, you think you're in poverty, let me tell you. My wife would wake up in the middle of the night with cockroaches crawling across her nose. Cool, isn't that cool? Yes, yes, that's right. And we go to the bathroom. You know how you got to go to the potty a lot when you're pregnant? You go into the bathroom, flip on the light, everywhere. But you can do all things through God who gives you strength. I want you to know that, all right? So, our daughter survived that environment because we used to change her. Our changing table was a portable refrigerator with a little thing on the top. That's what we changed her on, see? Okay, so she came down, she said, "Mark, what is the most important thing to you in parenting? And what do you want to achieve with your children?" And I said, "Well, that's simple. Most important thing in the world is my children know through the love that they see between Kathy and I in our lives that God is relevant, that He loves them, that He cares about them, and that they grow up to be kind, that they grow up to care enough about other people to do something to help others with their life. Not just as a hobby, but with their life." She just said, she dropped her pencil. She said, "Are you serious?" I said, "I'm very serious, young lady. I'm very serious. I expect to have wonderful children. I expect to have children that grow up, love the Lord, that want to do what God wants them to do, that know Him. I'm looking forward to the teen years. In fact, to be honest, it's going to break my heart when they leave. I am not looking forward to my kids leaving home. I love them. They're my best friends. They are the most important thing in my life. My wife and my kids, nobody comes before my wife and my kids other than God. And I love them. I love them with a passion, man. We have a blast. Life is wonderful together. It takes work. I'd be the first one to admit that. And it's not always peaches and cream. And there are things to work out. But I love them. And I feel like I got the best of both worlds. I have two boys and two girls. So I live with three women. And I live with, you know, two other guys besides myself. And I love my kids. But I want to share this with you. I have clung on to that one simple verse in the Bible for 13 years. That if I would follow what God has to say, and I personally myself as a person, as dad, would do the things that God asks of me to do, then He promised me my kids would not just be ordinary, but they'd be mighty in the land. They'd grow up. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs this. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they won't depart from it. It doesn't say they'll come back to it. It says if you train them when they're young. Now, I'm talking when they're young, when they're 8 months and a year and 2 and 3, 4 and 5 and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And after that, well, you're going to have to pray real hard. And we'll talk about that too in the weeks to come. Dealing with teenagers, if you're starting at that point in life. But the other thing that God has used in my life that is a philosophical thing. All right, I want to talk to you philosophically for a moment. Most people's attitudes when they first go into marriage and their mate is first expecting is one of great joy. This is exciting. They have been waiting for this day for a long, long time. They can't wait to hold that beautiful little child in their arms. And of course, they don't come out quite that easy. It takes a little work. I've told, my wife and I have told so many couples, it's going to hurt. We're just going to be honest with you, it's going to hurt. You probably scream. You better find some ways to cope right now. Okay? All the Lamas they teach you will never help you deal with the reality of the pain. Okay? So it's going to hurt. You're going to feel like you're ripping apart. Okay? Let's be blunt. Okay? And dads, I'm always honest, no kid looks beautiful coming out of the womb. Give me a break. Okay? I mean, neither would you covered with all that stuff. All right? So, but you're going to think they look beautiful. That's fine. That's great. That's wonderful. Now, the second thing is they get that baby and it's all over and they're holding it. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And their head's kind of crooked, you know, kind of bent out of shape. You're looking at this little baby and you take the baby home. Your wife starts to cry. Well, maybe. Depends on the woman. But you don't know why. And it's late at night and you're shot out of your mind. Your whole body aches. I mean, this is like 2 weeks in a row. You've been up every hour. Is she still breathing? I used to go in so many times. I don't hear him breathing, Kathy. I still can't hear him breathing. Yeah, well, they're breathing. They're breathing. They're all right. They're okay. They're okay. Well, I'm saying, now you put him back to sleep. I don't know how to do that. You know, I was just doing my duty overseeing this family, making sure she was still alive. You know? So you got to put him to sleep. Besides, I can't nurse her. I mean, hey, what am I? Rather obvious, right? And we want our child to grow up healthy, right, dear? So you better nurse the child. No one can tell you all those things. I mean, you're just going to, you'll find out. But it doesn't take very long. And I have sat across a restaurant table from a parent. I have been in small groups with parents. I have talked with them, you know, in the hallways, on the phone. And now all of a sudden, the reality is that that little three-year-old monster is running our life and destroying us. Okay? And I've had it. Now, this little child has become a curse. I want to share something with you about the Bible and about God's perspective that is so important that moms and dads, you understand tonight before you leave. No matter what age your children are, no matter what age they are, here's what the Bible says in Psalm 127. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and blessed is the man or woman who has a whole quiver full of them. Now, years ago when I was young, a quiver was about six. That's how many were in my family. A quiver to some people was eight. I was visiting with a friend the other day. He had 16 kids in his family. Today, a quiver is two. The primary reason it's two is because I can't stand any more than two. You know, one for you and one for me. You know how many times I've heard that? I've heard that more than I can count. He's got his, I've got mine. Good, I think we can manage this. Sure, right. That's how good parents are doing, really good, aren't they? The average family today is, I think, 1.95 children. They aren't managing that. So I guess it's a problem, isn't it? Problem in our thinking. The first problem is that somewhere along the line, our wiring's got mixed up. We no longer consider that child a joy and a blessing. And I cannot tell you how many parents have told me, Mark, wait till they become teenagers, man. And I cannot tell you how many parents have looked at me and I said, man, I'll tell you what, I cannot wait until they're gone. How many parents I've had tell me, man, just let me give you a little advice, Mark. Do not let them get their license at 16, okay? Don't. The other day I was in the grocery store and I was going through the checkout aisle. There was a woman there who I don't usually go through her aisle. I do the shopping. I have lots of energy, if you can't tell. So I do the shopping in our family. My wife makes the list. It helps her out. And I go down and boom. And I usually take one of my children with me because they learn this life skill, you see. They read off the list. I can grab faster if I don't have to look at the list. So they learn this skill. So sometimes I take all of them, all four of them. And this lady, I went through her aisle, and she said to me, she said, oh, you don't have your kids with you today. I said, well, not today, but you know, I'll bring them in sometime again. She said, you know, I didn't even know this woman. Didn't even know she'd ever seen me there before. She goes, you know, I can't get over your kids. I mean, I work in here all the time, and I've never seen kids like this. I mean, they come in here, they help you. They help you unload this cart. You know, you should see some of these mothers. Their kids are crawling on the conveyor belt, sticking a finger down the edge. They go, knock it, Johnny. Stop it. Nah. You know, they can't even sack their groceries. And I said, I'll tell you, I said, in just about 3 years, you know, my daughter's going to be 16. And I said, then she's coming down here. She gets the keys to the car, and they're going to do the shopping. She said, you're kidding. You trust them? I said, let me share something with you. If I cannot raise kids that I could trust, then I have no business being a parent. If we cannot raise kids that we trust, then moms and dads, we really, all of us, need to do some serious thinking about where we're at in our parenting experience. What I want to do with this series is help you take back your family. I want to help you gain control of your family. Help you understand, moms and dads, what your role is in the family. I know many parents, they have no idea, what is my role as a parent? What am I supposed to do? I don't even know. Well, we're going to talk about what God says our role is. Very different than what most of us think. God is on your side, moms and dads, and I want to leave you with that thought tonight. God is on your side. He's for you. He's in your corner. He's the one who orchestrated this whole thing. Family is the most precious institution we have in the world, and it always will be. It was the first that God instituted. He cares more about the family than he does anything else. Let me share with you why. If we don't have healthy families, we don't have a healthy church. You understand that? As the family goes, so goes the church, so goes the nation, so goes the future of this country. And if we don't take back our families, if we don't decide, I've got to instill more than education in my kids. Listen, education is not on my top 10 priority list with my kids. That may surprise you. You may have a different opinion, and that's okay. The number one thing on my agenda with my kids is their character. Because I know that if my kids grow up with character, they can do anything. They can learn the ABCs, they can read, they can write, they can learn geometry, they can move any mountain if they have the character and the stick-to-itiveness to do it. But today, we have a generation of young people who don't even know how to spell perseverance, let alone know how to do it. That comes through character. That comes through instilling that in your child. That comes from exemplifying that to our children and moms and dads. With God's help, we can do that. We can do that. Next week, I want to invite you back because I'm going to talk about where we get started. What is your role as a parent and how do we get our children to obey? You'd like to know that. I know you would. Many of you would. Some of you are going, I'm real interested to see what he's going to say. Well, I'll tell you, it may surprise you. Some of you, it may not. But I'd like you to come back next week. Bring a friend, because I'm sure they'd love to get the information that you're going to get next week. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much tonight for your goodness in our life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a father. You've been a father for thousands of years. You're the best father that's ever been. You're a wise and perfect God. And as I was thinking today, as your scriptures say, every word of God is flawless. You are a shield to those who take refuge in you. That's true, Lord. I have found that in my life in 17 years of following you, that your words have always come true. That as I've applied the Bible to my life, no matter what outside influences tried to press in on me, it worked. It worked as I kept applying myself to it. We have to decide as individuals who we're going to listen to. Are we going to listen to Hollywood? Are we going to listen to the psychologists? Are we going to listen to pop science today? Are we going to listen to the God of the universe who created families, who created moms and dads, who gave us his timeless principles? And they've been working for families for thousands of years as they've been applied diligently to life. I thank you, Lord, there's hope tonight. I thank you we can win the battle. I thank you it's not a lost cause. It is not a lost cause. It is a battle that we can win, and it's worth fighting for. Our kids are worth the struggle. Help each parent tonight, here tonight. Empower them, Lord. Bless them. Give them courage. And help them to come back next week. In Jesus' name.